This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn.
On ABC Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. This is the Overnights program, time to talk health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch from the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
This morning we talk about something that many athletes do not encounter, but if they do, even at a young age, they can be debilitating. I was talking to a friend about shin splints. He said he had a friend who was an aspiring footballer, got these shin splints around about the age of 18, has been unable to run ever since then. And that must be 10 years or so. So this can be a terrible, terrible situation.
Yeah, I mean, that means not just athletes, but even recreational exercises. I mean, you get shin splints, you know about it. It's a broad term. It's sort of describing the aches and pains, usually along the inner side of your lower leg. So it's like an inflammation of the area around the shin bone. The more accurate term is called medial tibial stress syndrome. Sometimes people say the shin splint is incorrect or controversial because some say it should be describing just shin problems. Others say it's only to be used as a generic term if you've ruled out things like compartment syndrome or stress fractures and other things like that. But look, if we just speak generally about that pain around the shin area, shin splints, it's an overuse injury. And you mentioned athletes. Yeah, they're at risk of getting it. Running on hard surfaces, running on your toes, sports that require a lot of jumping, they tend to have shin splints as a common thing. And it's also very common in military recruits. And you can imagine that people that haven't done much exercise before at that level get thrown into the deep end with, considerable walking and running
marching
and so on.
In particular.
Yeah. So there are different types of shin splints, and it really sort of depends on the site of the pain. But it can develop gradually over weeks and months and so on. And it's usually after an unaccustomed bout of exercise, and you do too much too soon, and we're all sometimes guilty of that. We're enthusiastic about doing an exercise or whatever. We go hard too early and we get pain. It's interesting when you mentioned about the person that you knew, it had the very severe condition. Was it actually something more serious than the shin splints? Some sort of stress fractures and other things. But that lower leg pain, over the shin bone, sometimes you get lumps and bumps on the bone, which is very painful to touch. And that muscle around the shin, it's called the tibialis anterior, when you move your toes or your feet up and down and you contract that muscle, can be very, very painful. It's an overuse injury. It can be very painful, and it can affect all of us if we're doing something that we haven't done before and we do too much of it.
So how different is it to shin soreness, which is through, again, perhaps overuse? I remember when I used to have to walk to a railway station, get the train to work, it would be about 2 kilometres and a lot of it uphill. And so quite often when I got to the station, I would have sore shins. You hear about racehorses getting shin sore as well. How different is it to that?
I think it's the same thing. I think we're talking about this generalized soreness, the aches and pains along that area, and typically it's because of inflammation, and if you don't address it properly, you could aggravate the problem, it could become something worse. And I think there are various things you mentioned about walking up hills and other things like that. That's one of the reasons. Other things can happen if we don't rest properly after doing something like that. So if you've embarked on an exercise program, if you've been had a long layoff and you want to go off and you do too much too soon, that's often a trigger for it. So we always talk on this show about starting off slowly and building up your training intensity very gradually. It's one way to try and minimize the chance of getting that sort of shin soreness. And it's usually when you get that injury because you've increased the intensity too quickly or you haven't rested sufficiently between the two sessions. So about training program design, it's got to be about progression, it's got to be about overload, but it needs to be very carefully designed so you're not overdoing the system. You mentioned in terms of walking uphill, and I think the angle at which our feet strike the pavement and other things, so it could be because of poor biomechanics, so the way that the foot and the leg move while we're walking or running or if we're playing sport. Some people suggest, it could be because you've got flat feet or your arches have dropped. That could be contributing to shin splints because that muscle around the shin is is stretching more if the feet aren't anatomically in the right position. Other people say, and it's often from the Podiatry Association, say that people with flat feet are no more prone to injury and soreness than other people. Instead, what they think in terms of the critical factor with this sort of foot soreness and injury is the way that you move and the way that you walk, not how high or how flat your arches or your feet may be. If your feet are moving abnormally while you're walking or standing, it could make you more prone to these sorts of problems. So abnormal foot movement, it could be just the way we do it, this way we walk differently. Our gait can be very specific to individuals. It could be because of a neurological disorder. It may be a previous injury you may have had if you haven't healed properly after a particular injury, or it may be the way that you were born in terms of your anatomical design, in terms of the skeleton and the way that your feet hit the pavement and so on, could be a factor as well. I was wondering whether when you got the shin soreness, was it a hard surface that you were walking on?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
A footpath.
Yeah, a hard or an uneven surface. Yeah. Often people suggest you get pain because of that. So I think choosing the right footwear, to the right, you know, running shoes is pretty. You've been walking for the last month around New York, doing a lot of walking, and I know that we've had a conversation offline talking about the importance of the shoes and in making sure that we reduce that soreness of the feet. That's one thing. But also that the soreness of the shins could be providing the support and the degree of cushioning for your build and your weight. And running shoes do lose their shock absorbing properties over time, so you have to update them on a regular basis to make sure that you're getting the benefit and providing the protection that is designed in, to provide.
Although you may have seen the ABC TV series The Checkout recently, they had a very interesting story about running shoes, athletic shoes, and how so many of the claims made by the shoe companies simply just didn't add up.
People talk about fishing and lures are meant to catch fishermen, not fish. It's like the amazing array of products we have for athletics and recreational wear. It's the same thing. But I think the principles are there. And I think one of the factors that we can, if we're prone to getting shin splints, is to consider the shoes that we're wearing, if they're running shoes or they're just normal walking shoes, and the surfaces that we're walking on could be a factor in terms of getting the shin splints.
Okay. Gordon Lynch, our guest, talking shin splints this morning as we talk health and fitness. So, if you get them once or you get them on a recurring basis, what could and should you do?
So I think that rest is pretty important. So we know if it's an overuse injury, it means that we're not resting sufficiently between those sessions. So if we schedule the rest properly, the way it should be, so the training intensity, how hard we're performing, how often we're doing the exercise, maybe we've got to scale it back for a time, allowing the pain to subside, get the injury to heal properly. Don't rush back to the exercise too quickly, ease back into it, and then you build up the intensity and so on. Some people apply ice if you're prone to shin splints. They're applying to the affected area immediately after the exercise. That's about decreasing the inflammation and the swelling that you may get. Applying heat to the area before exercise, so you apply those creams you can rub into them and usually heat up the area, local sort of heat. That may be beneficial. Some people suggest that stretching exercises may be helpful too. So improving the flexibility in that area. Stretching is useful for warming up the muscle as well, especially in the calf muscle. So we're talking about if we're stretching out the calf, we're actually stretching that muscle at the front of the shin as well, which is the tibialis anterior, and that may be helpful to perhaps minimise that soreness. If it's if you have a lot of pain, you may be tempted to go for anti-inflammatory medication, so an over-the-counter anti-inflammatory may be appropriate. But I think it's probably best to consult with your doctor who's can give you the best pain relief specifically for you, depending on other medications that you may be on. But I think the important thing about medication is that long-term use of pain relief is generally not recommended, especially in this situation where you may be masking a more fundamental problem. So if you've got a foot and an anatomical problem, or if it's a more fundamental injury, if it's a stress fracture where there's actually bones that have broken, or you've got other forms of damage that are contributing to the shin splints, you could be masking that by taking these sorts of pain medications, which are covering actually what the main cause is. I think the shoes issue is an important thing too, Rod. I mean, make sure the choice of footwear is suitable for the exercises that you're performing. Many people that have arch problems, if that's going to be a factor, it may or may not be particular in your case or whatever. It may be that consulting with a podiatrist or an expert who can solve these sorts of foot problems. In many cases, there was a review of different clinical trials examining treatments for shin pain, and they concluded that the most encouraging evidence for effective prevention of shin splints involves the use of shock-absorbing insoles. So you can buy those insoles, you can insert, they provide that level of cushioning, they can raise the arches somewhat if that's an issue, and that seems to be helpful. Some people find that deep tissue massage could be helpful. So if you get a physio or a qualified massage therapist who can do that, sometimes it can be a very painful way of treating something that's already painful. So it may not be suitable for everyone. And I think the last thing in terms of treatment is the consultation with your doctor. If the problem's persisting, if you're getting this recurring problem of shin splints, despite all the things that were talked about in terms of trying to alleviate it, then maybe it's a more serious problem and you may need to have a bone scan, you know, an x-ray or something that may be necessary to detect whether there's a stress fracture, if that's the main culprit. So if in doubt and you've got this persisting problem with shin splints, best to check with your doctor. They can refer you to another specialist. It could be a sports physician, could be a podiatrist, it could be a physiotherapist or a massage therapist, and so on, a suite of different skill sets to treat specific problems. But we don't want to mask what could be a more serious problem, and so it's best to get it checked out if you're getting these shin splints, the painful condition, on a recurring basis.
As they used to always say, if pain persists, see your doctor. So if this happens over and over again, either you're doing something wrong, or maybe there is an ongoing problem like a stress fracture of your shin, which would be very, very painful. But is it a part of the body that gets used to this kind of exercise and then will build up a resistance to that pain?
So with training, the idea is that we are stretching these muscles on a regular basis, that we are, you know, building up those particular tissues that are enabling us to do the exercise on a repeated basis. That's called adaptation. With proper training, your body is responding appropriately to the intervention. And yes, you should be able to perform the exercises without getting shin splints on a recurring basis. If you are doing the exercises on a regular basis and you still keep getting shin splints after every session, or if you're changing the intensity too quickly and so on, it's either a training program design, so you need to think about that and that you're actually contributing to the problem yourself, or it's this more sinister problem that needs to be addressed in different ways, and that's where you need to seek medical help.
If you don't get shin splints, what does that mean? It just means that you are not the sort of person that has that pain, or does it mean that you're doing it right?
No, I think typically if you're exercising on a regular basis and you're not getting shin splints, it sort of means you're lucky, and it might be that you're anatomically right, your biomechanics are right doing the exercises, and that's what we want. But over time, I think this overuse injury should be eliminated if the program design is correct. Often with these military recruits and so on, that the problems go away because their bodies get used to the sort of intervention, and the body hardens itself up to combat it. So I think it's over time it should be something that goes away. And again, if it's not, then there could be a more serious underlying problem.
All right. The problem of shin splints. Gordon, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.